Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This weekend we celebrate the 4th of July, a very special day in American history, a day when we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And what a celebration it is. We celebrate with days off. We celebrate with parties and family get-togethers, barbecues, ice cream. Not 4th of July without ice cream. And fireworks. Lots of fireworks. It is a celebration of the freedoms we have as Americans. And we have a lot to celebrate. But as Christians, we have even more to celebrate. You see, as Christians, we have been given eternal freedoms. And as Christians, we also have our own Declaration of Independence, and it's called the Book of Galatians. Our text today from Galatians chapter 5 describes some of the freedoms we have in Christ. In fact, three freedoms that I want to talk about today. But before I talk about those three freedoms, there's one important truth each one of us has to understand, and that truth is this. Freedom is not free. Now, we are blessed to grow up in the most free country in the history of the world. We have so many freedoms, so many that we take for granted, including the freedom of speech, the freedom of assembly, freedom to vote for our leaders, freedom to vote against our leaders, freedom to vote out our leaders. And of course, the most important freedom of all, the freedom to worship God. Now, where do all these freedoms come from? Well, these freedoms are not accidents. They didn't just suddenly appear by magic. Nope. These freedoms were bought and paid for. They were bought and paid for in blood. Brave men and women, we call them soldiers, brave men and women, heroes, fought and died for the freedoms we have in various wars that we have encountered over our 245-year history. July 4th is definitely a day of celebration. It's right that we celebrate, but it's also a day for reflection and for gratitude. Gratitude to those people who paid the ultimate price so that we might enjoy the freedoms we have today. Now, the price for our political freedom is blood. How much greater is the price for our eternal freedoms? 1 Peter 1:18 tells us that it was not with perishable items such as silver or gold that we were set free from sin and death, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. In other words, the price for our eternal freedom was not gold or silver, but the precious blood of the Son of God himself. Jesus Christ, the ultimate hero, made the ultimate sacrifice that we might have the ultimate freedom. Let me share with you the three freedoms that we have in Christ. Number one, freedom from death. The most important freedom we have is freedom from death itself. Galatians 5 says, "For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." Freedom from death is the ultimate freedom. Without this freedom, none of our other freedoms really matter. All other freedoms are only temporary. Jesus Christ died and rose again so that you and I might have eternal life through faith in him. Galatians 5 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." It is Christ's own doing. He paid the price and willingly paid the price on the cross so that we might be set free. It is not our own doing. It is the gift of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This freedom that we have in Christ, freedom from death itself, is something we cannot earn it on our own. No one could afford to pay the price for that freedom except Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Death is no longer the victor. Jesus Christ is the victor. If we shoot off fireworks to celebrate our freedom from political oppression, what sort of fireworks should we shoot off to celebrate freedom from death? It is the ultimate freedom, the ultimate reason to celebrate, the ultimate reason for joy. That's why for the Christian, every day is like the 4th of July. It's a day to celebrate freedom. The ultimate freedom, freedom from death itself. The second freedom we have, given to us by Jesus Christ, is freedom from legalism. Now, Galatians were struggling with that problem, and it's a struggle we can all relate to. You know, the Galatians had been taught by people called Judaizers that in order to be Christians, first they had to submit themselves to some of the Old Testament rituals, especially circumcision. In other words, before they could become Christians, they first had to become Jews. That's where they got the name Judaizers. That's the reason Paul wrote the book of Galatians, to warn them that if they submit to this sort of legalism, they would be denying Christ's own sacrifice. Paul wrote earlier in Galatians chapter 2, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Galatians 2 verse 16. The law in of itself cannot justify it. We cannot justify ourselves by works of the law. And if we did, if we were able to do that, then what would be the reason Jesus would ever die? Galatians 2:21 says, if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. If we could somehow justify ourselves by doing certain things or by fulfilling the law or by some Old Testament ritual, then why did Jesus die? Why would he go to the cross? Christ then dies for no purpose. No, we are set free by Christ and by Christ alone. Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. No, we are not saved by the law. We are saved by Christ and by Christ alone. Paul tells the Galatians and us that we are no longer under the threat of the law. We are no longer under the ceremonial law of the Old Testament with its ceremonies and its rituals. We don't have to be like the Pharisees. We don't have to remember 613 different laws. We don't have to jump through all those hoops. No, it's not about rituals and ceremonies. No, instead, it's all about love. Galatians 5 verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith, working through love. All the law is summed up in that one word, love. That's what Galatians 5:14 says. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. These Old Testament rituals and ceremonies are not the reality. They were only pointing to a greater reality. They were pointing towards Christ. Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 2, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or by what you drink or with regard to a religious festival or a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Christ has fulfilled those Old Testament ceremonies and rituals. We now live in the freedom of Christ. We have three freedoms that Christ gives us. The first freedom is freedom from death. The second freedom is freedom from legalism. And the third freedom that I want to share with you today is freedom from the sinful nature. For you, my brothers, we're called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:13 and 14. We now have a new and better life in Christ. We have been set free from the power of the sinful nature. Now make no mistake, the sinful nature is still with us and will be with us until the day we die. It continues to tempt us. It continues to try to trick us. It continues to try to trap us. It is always working against us. It is a traitor that is inside each one of us working against Christ. But the good news is that sinful nature is no longer in charge. We are new people through the power of holy baptism. And we no longer live under the domination and bondage to the sinful nature. No longer are we slaves to sin and selfishness. No longer do we focus only on ourselves, but instead we live a new life, a life of love, a life not under bondage to the sinful nature. Instead, we live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The sinful nature kept us in bondage, but the Holy Spirit gently guides us in His ways. What is the way of the Spirit? Now, that's also found in Galatians chapter 5. Says that the sinful nature and the Spirit are in opposition to each other. What the sinful nature wants is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. What does the Spirit want for you? What does the Holy Spirit desire for your life? Well, the Holy Spirit desires only the best for your life. And that's what's described in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you with His love, His joy, and His peace. You see, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. He is full of love and helps us to love others the same way Christ loves us. He helps us to take the focus off of ourselves and see the needs of others who are around us. He's the Spirit of joy, who fills our hearts with joy, the joy of knowing that death has been defeated and that we have everlasting life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as Christians, we have reason to celebrate each and every day. Jesus Christ has won the victory over sin and death and gives us everlasting life. And He's the Spirit of peace, the Spirit who brings the peace that passes all understanding. First of all, He fills us with the peace that comes from the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. As Romans 5 tells us, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then that peace extends to others as well. We have the peace that comes from the forgiveness of sins. That forgiveness we then, in turn, offer to others, bringing peace to our relationships, peace to our families. He is the Spirit of love, the Spirit of joy, and the Spirit of peace, and He wants us to be and live in those gifts that He wants to give us. And of course, the Bible tells us He's also the Spirit of freedom, who sets us free from sin, who sets us free from legalism. And he sets us free from the power of death itself. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." You see, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you and I might be free. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.